I'm preaching tonight on the subject, the great pretender. The great pretender. I want you to start reading with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. And let me read some verses and then just briefly give you a little idea as to what I'm trying to. I've been dealing with some character studies. And I go to character studies of individuals in the Bible from time to time. And here's one of those characters that we're looking at tonight. He is following in the footsteps of his father because that's what was destined for him to do. That was his place. And he is now king of Judah and Benjamin because the kingdom has been divided, and the kingdom has been divided because of him. His name is Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was Solomon's son. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. But we're going to the end of his life, but be patient with me because I just want to walk you through some things, and I won't take time to read all of the passages of Scripture for time's sake, but you'll be able to see how that they fit together. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, let's begin reading with verse 9. So Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Instead of which king Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance. And when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched them and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. For Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Now the acts of Rehoboam, first and last, are they not written in the book of Shemaiah, the prophet, and of Iddo, the seer, concerning genealogies? And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Abijah, his son, reigned in his stead. I want to ask you a couple questions. Really focus in on what the point of all of this is. Have you ever been disappointed with something that you thought it was one thing and then found out it wasn't that way at all? Have you ever been disappointed in people that you thought they were one thing and then when you got to know them, you found out they were really something else? Some disappointments mark us more than others. There's things that I try to get out of my mind, but I can't get out of my mind. I remember when Candy and I were first married, we lived in a little mobile home. And the only thing hotter than living in a mobile home is living in a mobile home that's parked in a mobile home park in Ironton, Ohio, surrounded by all concrete and other mobile homes, and not have air conditioning. And it got to be about August, and the temperature was over 100 consistently for about a week. And I came in one day, and Candy was sitting in front of a fan and it blowing hot air through the window on her, and she was crying because she was so weak that she was hot. And I said, we've got to do something about this. So I heard of a friend that had an air conditioner. He was a businessman, and of course in mobile homes you can't just put any kind of air conditioner. It has to be able to fit. Have you ever noticed everything in a mobile home? I don't know where they make those parts for some of the mobile homes, but you can't find replacement anywhere for them. So he had one that happened to fit. So we went and got it. And, you know, some people say it and they don't mean it, but I mean it. We were poor. And we didn't have much money, and we were taking all of our money to buy this mobile home. And I asked one question, or buy this air conditioner for the mobile home. I asked one question. I said, does it work? He said, I guarantee it. It works. He said, I've never lied to you. He said, it works. And I said, well, that's great. So I made the decision to buy it. So it took all of our money. We got it in. And we no more got it in and turned it on. And poof, it didn't work. Well, in the process, I'm trying to check it out and a thunderstorm comes. And if not only did it not work, but it had been fabricated with some things to make it look like it was okay, that the frame wasn't good, and it fell out of the window in the thunderstorm. After the thunderstorm passed, we went outside and someone stole it during the thunderstorm. So now we had one that didn't work. We were broke, didn't have money to get another one. So I thought, well, this is a friend. So I went back to his place of employment and they said, he doesn't want to see you. To this day, he's never spoken to me. I have to forgive him to go to heaven, but I don't have to like it. And I was very disappointed. I learned my lesson well, and you know, I just might as well get it out there for those of you that's new to the church. We're very giving, we're very loving, but you look right here. I'm not stupid. And I've got some principles when it comes to God's money that I'll do anything to help anybody, but I do realize it's God's money. And I learned my lesson early. When we moved here, lo and behold, when I came to the church in 83, there was a mobile home for a parsonage that sat right where the church is at. And we moved in another mobile home. And I'm not anti-mobile home. We'd move back in one tomorrow. But I'll guarantee you, I'm going to pray it has air conditioning before we get there. But anyway, we had come, this fella come, knocked at the door. And he said, I need some help. I was new. I didn't know anything about how we even operated yet on helping people that need help. And I thought, I wasn't being judgmental, but I thought I caught a little whiff of something when he talked. And smelled a little bit like alcohol. He told me it was mouthwash. So I took what little money we had and I started to hand it to him. He grabbed it, started, I said, oh no. I said, you look me in the eyes. I've got one child, another one on the way. And I said, we don't make a lot of money and this is my money, but I want you to know God gave me that money. So I want you to look me in the eye and promise me you're not going to buy alcohol with that. And he said, preacher, my baby is sick in Children's Hospital. I'm leaving here and going straight to Children's Hospital. I wouldn't dare of buying alcohol with that money. And I said, well, it's God's money and you think of me what you will, but I'm going to pray burns your hide if you spend it for alcohol. If you're spending it to, boy, I'm getting a lot of blank stares. If you're spending it to meet your needs, I'm glad to help. Well, he promised me with all assurance. So 3 or 4 hours later, we had to go to the grocery. When we went downtown, there he stood on the corner drunk. So I pulled the car over. And I said, you lying dog. And he said, well, God hasn't skinned me. I said, not yet. But I was disappointed. And I told him how disappointed I was in him. And I made the statement, if you're going to live for the devil can board you for free. Think of me what you will, but you know, when it comes to God's money, I don't think we take God's money to help you support immoral lifestyle. Now, if you need food, that's one thing. But when you're at a place where that you're taking from God's people and abusing God's people, I better move on. That's enough said of that. But the case is the same. I've had pastors and preachers that I've been disappointed in because they said one thing and they did something else. They preached one thing and they lived another life. Maybe you're not ready for this. But it is disappointing. And I want to ask you a simple question. Have you ever been disappointed in someone? And here is a man that he learned how to be the best pretender that he could be. He was great at it. He was really good at it. When it comes to being a phony, my prayer is always this: Lord, help me see one, and Lord, help me never be one. Because you want to see that, because you need discernment. I know people, the favorite sinner's favorite verse is, judge not that you be not judged. But you've got to be prudent in things for God to bless you in life. And it's not being hard on people. You want to help people, but you have to help them in the right way. That's what I'm saying. Well, Rehoboam, he had a great gift at the, and it wasn't, it's no reason that he had such problem. I mean, if you look at the roots, his history, his heritage, we can see why he had a problem. He follows his father between King Saul, King David, King Solomon was his father. Naamah was his mother. Naamah was an Ammonitess. She wasn't of God's people. She was of a people that worshiped false gods and served idols. And his whole heritage, he had been influenced by his dad. His dad had come 1 year after Rehoboam's born. His dad comes to the throne. His dad is part of 120 years of three kings that had served Israel. And here he is following his father. And you know, we talk a lot about Solomon, but I think sometimes if you go back to 1 Kings chapter 11, you'll find out that even though Solomon had such great wisdom, and even though Solomon did so many wonderful things and was a great builder and built the temple, we forget that he had terrible sin in his life. Verse 1 said, King Solomon loved many strange women. Verse 3, he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, and was the heart of David his father. And as was the heart of David his father, he said at the end of his life, his life had turned away from God, and Rehoboam saw all of this happen. He watched him go from a place of being used by God to build the temple to be a place where he was overcome with his love for various women, women that were false gods, moved them into the city, and before long, his heart is turned away from God. Have you ever looked at someone that's turned from God? Does that not disappoint you? To see people that used to have such power, such anointing of God on their life, so close to God, and now see them living in sin, or see them chasing other things, leaving God out of their life completely. What a disappointment. All of this. By the way, be careful what you do. Because what you do, your children watch you. They see. They know. So then we also find out that what you do when you're not genuine, it will eventually be revealed. So Rehoboam, he found out that his father knew a lot about pomp and circumstance, and he knew all of the etiquette for temple worship. And after all, he had taken what David had raised and built this mighty temple. But now here he is. He's turned from the very God he goes to worship. Isn't that strange? What a disappointment. So when he dies, Rehoboam comes on. And you think Rehoboam would have learned some things because of Solomon's lifestyle, and he didn't have the heart that his father David had. Before long, it became about greed. And the affluent lifestyle that he had, impacted Rehoboam. 1 Kings chapter 12. Here's the way that a pretender, a phony, can be revealed. Here's how God teaches us how to discern if someone's real or not. True discernment. Well, what is it? Well, when he takes over in chapter 12 of 1 Kings, he's going to Shechem, and he's going to Shechem to be coronated king after Solomon has died. And when he goes to be coronated king, the people come to him and they make an appeal. See, Solomon had gotten so wicked that he started to tax the people heavily, and it had become such a burden to the people that the people were losing out, and he was getting so much that he had forgotten about the people that God had put him king over to serve. He left them out. It was all about him. So Rehoboam, he comes to the place where the people come and they make their appeal. And verse 4 said, "Thy father made our yoke grievous, and now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us, make it lighter and we will serve thee." They said, "Listen, we'll work for you. We'll do what needs to be done, but you've got to take some of this load off of us." Now let me show you how you can tell a pretender. Here's how it happens. A pretender always acts like they're listening to you, but they're not paying any attention. They act interested and you think they're interested, but they're really not interested in you at all. How do you get that? Well, look in verse 5. He said unto them, "Depart ye yet three days and come again." So they leave. So they're saying, he's saying, "I'm interested in what you have to say, but I don't want to make a decision just like that. Give me 3 days." They say, "Boy, he really cares. His father wouldn't even listen to us. He's going to take 3 days to study this out, to find out what he can do to make things better." Verse 6. "And Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived and said, 'How do ye advise that I may answer this people?' And they spake unto him, saying, 'If thou wilt be a servant unto the people this day and will serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever.'" So they gave him good advice. If you want them to serve you, you need to serve them. I can't expect you to do for God if I'm not willing to do for God as your pastor. You can accuse me of a lot of things, but you can't accuse me of not leading by example. I don't ask you to do things that I don't do. I don't ask you to praise God and I don't praise God. I don't ask you to give and I don't give. I don't ask you to do certain things that I don't do, because that would be hypocritical on my part. Boy, it's getting quiet now. So it's good advice. They said they do it. But notice verse 8. "But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and he consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, 'What counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter?' And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, 'Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us, and thus thou shalt say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.'" A whip was a single strip of leather. Scorpions had 10 and 12 strips of leather with bone on the end of it. In other words, I'm going to make it worse on you. I'm going to make it harder on you. I'm going to do just the opposite of what I was advised. And that's the next thing that we see. They will not, a pretender, they will act interested, but they really don't care about you. They don't care about you. And you know, if you get to a place where that you say, as a Christian, I care about people, and people come to you, they'll say, hey, I got a prayer need. I want you to pray about this. And you look at that person and you say something like, I'm going to pray about that. And they walk out and you never breathe that need to God in prayer. That's not good. It's not good for us to do that. You say, well, how do you do that, preacher? Well, immediately in my heart, in my mind, I start saying, oh, God, help that person. Help that person, put that person on my heart, because I don't ever want to be guilty of being a pretender. I want to see one, I don't want to be one. And that's exactly what happened here. So we find that he disregarded the relief of the people. He gave them no relief. Not only did he disregard the relief of the people, but also you'll find out in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, the prophet Shemaiah came to him and he said, listen, when you said, I'm going to make it harder, you know what happened then? The kingdom divided. Jehoiakim took 10 of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin separated, and there became a northern kingdom of Israel, and Jerusalem, Judah and Benjamin stayed together in the Jerusalem and Judah area. But the others were now separated. Now that they're separated, by the time you get to 2 Chronicles chapter 11, God tells Shemaiah, said, you tell him whatever you do not fight your kindred. You don't go to war with your people. You don't go to war with your brothers. My hand of blessing won't be on that. You don't do that. They disagreed with you. They separated. What they said, we're not going to live under this anymore. We're going to go somewhere else. And they did. By the way, if I'm not genuine and I pretend, I can't blame you if you go somewhere else where someone does care. It's not your fault. It's my fault. This isn't going over well, but it feels pretty good. And when Shemaiah told him that, you'll find out 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 4, that they obeyed. But the strange thing about it, by the time you get to verse 15, he's storing up shields and spears and weapons because he said, I'll obey. In other words, he said one thing, but he did something else. That's a pretender. They say one thing, but they do something else. Oh, preacher, pray that God gives me this job. If I get this job, I'll be able to come to church. Then you don't come to church. Oh, preacher, pray that God provides me with this. I'll use this for the glory of God. You get what you ask, and you don't use it for God's glory. I'm saying it's easy for any of us to become a pretender, to say one thing. Words are cheap, folks. Actions will cost you something. And I read to you in the opening text, he fought continually with his brethren. The very thing that God told him not to do, the very thing that he said, I'll obey, that's the very thing that he did. He said, I'm not going to obey it. I'm going to do what I want. And to make matters worse, God said, you go your way, you go on your dime. And the next thing we know, he's bringing in women like his father. And he turns to immorality. Sodomites ruled the land. Immorality was there. He has a vast number of women, a vast number of children. And he starts desecrating the city that God has put his name on. And his actions say, I'm following Jehovah God. He's saying that with his mouth, but his actions is saying, I'm not doing one thing that God says. Everybody wants to be a Christian as long as they don't have to read the Bible. Everybody wants to be a Christian as long as God never tells us no. But I want to tell you, there's some things that God says, if we're going to be blessed, we've got to follow what God's word says. And we've got to do what God says. And if we don't do those things, then we become a pretender. The worst action was worst of all. He had to pay. So God raised up Shishak, the king of Egypt. And Shishak comes into Jerusalem. And since he was using the things of God in the wrong way, God just took it all from him. Do you know God will take things from us? So God took it all from him. When he got it all taken from him, then what was worse was the things they took from the temple. And among the other things they took the shields of gold. The shields of gold, there were 300 smaller shields and 200 larger shields that Solomon had made. The smaller shields, each shield had 3 pounds of gold in it. That means in today's value, I look today at what an ounce of gold is, you're right at $100,000 worth of gold in each shield. And there were 300 of those. Then there were 600 shekels of gold in the 200 larger shields. Those would be worth around $450,000 to $500,000 apiece. Each shield by what gold closed at today. So they had these shields of gold. The amazing thing was the shields of gold, they were never to be taken into war. They were used for one purpose. They were put in the guardhouse. They came out of the treasury house. When they were brought out, they would line up, make two lines with the larger shields and the smaller shields. The larger shields on one side, smaller on the other. And they lined up all the way up to the temple, and they had one purpose. They would hold the shields up. The people were nearby, and it separated the king from the people. But he was separated between this alloy of golden shields as he went in to the temple to worship. So they were there to protect the king on his way to worship. So when they stole these golden shields and took them down to Egypt, he knew that he would be caught in the fact that he had displeased God if the people knew it. So do you know what he did? He had them make shields of brass. And he had them shine that brass to make it look like it was gold at a distance. So he made everybody else stand way off. No longer could they come close. And they would get those brass shields out, and they would hold those brass shields up, and the king would walk through them. And he thought, I fooled them all. Nobody knows. I'm doing a great job. I'm acting like everything's all right. I'm going through the motions, and the people didn't catch me. But the truth of the matter is, he didn't fool God. God knows the difference between gold and brass. God can tell the difference between what's real and what's fake. And God says when we come into the house of God, he wants our golden worship. He wants our best, the best we have to offer. Offer God the best always. Give him the best of our time, the best of our study, the best of our money, the best of our love, the best of our attitude. God always wants the gold of our worship. But if we're not careful, we'll substitute gold with brass. And people that live a great distance from God, they don't know the difference between gold and brass. They don't know. See, the old men, they've already been rejected. They were the ones that would have known. So he excluded them. He kept them out. Folks, it's just this simple. Be real. If we're not genuine and we're not real, everything else is in vain. We have to be real. We have to be genuine. If we're not that, we're in serious trouble. Now tonight, I preach this message with one intention. My intention is not to scold anybody that's here, because I feel like we've got gold here tonight. So don't take this message the wrong way. But I also know there's very few people here that haven't had to deal with disappointments. we live long enough, we will be disappointed. You'll be disappointed in people. We'll be disappointed in ourselves. Our disappointment may not even run toward others. It may be that you're disappointed in yourself. Why did I do that? Why did I make that decision? But I know one thing. God knows the difference between what's gold and what's brass. But I believe if we bring God our brass and lay it in His hands, He'll give us gold in exchange. He'll give us what's real. I don't want a fake relationship with God. I want a real relationship with God. I don't want to be like some folks, to serve a God that I doubt if He answers prayer, or I doubt if He can do things, or I wonder about His ability and His power. I don't want that kind of relationship. I watch some of you, and I'm sorry I'm going a little longer, but I feel like you need to hear this tonight. I watch some of you that's here in this church tonight, and I have watched you not even knowing your background or knowing what you came from or where you've been or what you faced, but I've watched you exchange brass for gold. I've watched you go to a new level with God. That's not because of our church or my preaching. It's a personal decision. Whether you decided, you know, there is somebody that I can turn to that's never fake and will never disappoint me. And He is always faithful. And He's always good, even when it don't feel good to me. I just have to trust Him. I think I'll go to God and get the gold. If you don't turn your disappointments over to God, they will ruin you in the end. The times that I mentioned earlier, do you know what I came to the decision of? I know some of you may think, well, you harbor something against those individuals that treated you wrong. No, I came to the decision I was stupid. It was me. I made a bad judgment call. I made a bad business decision. I should have plugged it in and checked the air conditioner before I left. I should have taken the man to where he was going, or gave someone the money to get him there and buy his food. I used poor judgment. It wasn't them, it was me. People will do what people do. But I'm not responsible for others. I'm responsible for me. So if I look at those individuals and they've disappointed me and I let that weigh on me heavy the rest of my life, I'll never enjoy the gold of God's presence. Never. So I can't always change people, but you know what? I can change me. I can learn from my mistakes. I can be better. And I hope you feel like you can too. Some of you have gone through some real times of disappointment. And I'm not saying that it's not genuine. Family, friends, bosses at work. People have said one thing, done another thing. They disappointed you. Do you know what I do? I'm here to tell you, heaven's cashier is open. And the Holy Ghost is waiting right here at these altars tonight, saying, just come and bring all that brass to me, and I'll turn it back to gold for you. He's faithful.